Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World According to Velvet. This is Velvet and Robert Fitzgerald, and we're reporting here from planet Earth, square in the middle of the universe. We're tapped into the center of the galaxy, according to the astrology of the store. Anyway, we've got Robert Fitzgerald here, theoretical astrologer, and we're continuing our discussion on the holographic universe, and if we have time, we're going to get into the astrological roots of gender roles. Okay, so Robert, where do you want to start?
Okay, last time we talked about the multidimensional nature of the universe. Now, this includes 9 spatial dimensions plus 3 time dimensions, a 12-dimensional astrologically complete universe. 3 of the spatial dimensions are emotional, which have to do with goddess and divine love and everything we talk about that's spiritual in the devotional sense. Then 3 of the dimensions are support the existence of mental constructs at the top end, the Buddhist idea of the universal mind, all the way to the Christian idea of what St. John said, that the Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word implying, in a sense, that mental aspect of creation. And then 3 of them were the support of physical universe. And then we have a physical universe with 3 spatial dimensions, length, width, and depth. Okay, from this, how do we get to the universe that we have today, the physical, mental, and emotional universe that we experience around us? This taps into the astrological connections that I found corresponding to theoretical physicist David Bohm's idea of a holographic universe. Now, in traditional holography, you have like a single beam of light and it's split into two with a semi-opaque mirror set at a 45-degree angle to the direction of the light beam. Half the light beam goes straight through, half is mirrored off at a 90-degree angle. Now, they both go, a certain distance, and the beam that is angled off at a 90-degree angle hits another mirror, and this is totally opaque. So all of that beam is angled back in towards a central ground, a central matrix, creative matrix, we'll say. And as it heads back in there, it goes through a prism and is separated out into its various wavelengths. Now, the original, the straight beam that's come down through it, it hits a prism and it's separated out and it goes down with all the separate wavelengths, green, red, yellow, blue, all of that. And it surrounds a solid object. As it does so, it picks up information about that object, how it looks. And then as it passes that object, it hits another, a wider mirror that can collect the entire beam, and it's beamed back in towards the other, the right angle beam. When they meet together in the middle, they interact and they create a moiré pattern of concentric rings. Now, these rings are just, they don't mean anything yet, but they carry all the information of this particular creation. A third beam of light is shown on any small part of that matrix, of that moiré pattern, and the entirety of the original object pops up. These objects are ghost-like, static. Even if they tend to act a little bit, you might get like the image of Princess Leia talking to R2-D2. At the beginning of the Star Wars movies, where R2-D2 projects out like this ghostly static image. That's a holographic image. Now, if this universe is holographic, we need a mechanism that is complex enough to allow for the creation of or the reproduction of reality that's outside the universe. We need to reproduce it in a sense where it's solid, physical, living, breathing, moving, thinking, and loving. everything that we understand about life around us. That's part of this holographic projection. This is the essential nature of the Hindu idea of Maya, or illusion. It's also the central idea behind the shamanic idea that we live in a dream. This is the dream time. We are the dreamers. So what is this mechanism? As it turns out, it's the zodiac. Now, this zodiac is based on not the current traditional idea of Aries in the first house, but the more ancient idea of the sign Taurus in the first house on the ascendant. The first house is the left-hand side of the circle, right at that left-hand side and going 30 degrees down. That's the first house. And then for each 30 degrees on around, in a clockwise motion, then you end up having a complete 12 houses in that circle. So Taurus, in this on the ascendant and ruling this entire first house, we have a particular, well, backtrack just a second. Each of the 12 signs is ruled by a planet. And traditionally, there were 7 ruling planets, Sun, Moon, then you had Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, 5 regular planets, and the 2 luminaries, as they're called, okay? So these seven planets rule the 12 signs. Now, as it turns out, when we have Taurus on the ascendant, the rulership axis of these 7 planets aligns down in a perfectly vertical axis right down the center of the zodiac, giving us what looks like the universal idea of the axis mundi, the axis around which the mundane universe is created. And that's common to like almost all religions and almost all mythologies. Looking at this in an astrological perspective, Saturn sits at the top of this axis. It rules Aquarius and Capricorn. With Taurus rising, the midheaven sits between Aquarius and Capricorn. So Capricorn's in the 9th house, Aquarius is in the 10th house. Just below that, we have Jupiter. Jupiter rules Pisces below Aquarius on the left and Sagittarius below Capricorn on the right. Mars does the same thing, ruling Aries on the left and Scorpio on the right. Now, at the exact center of this hierarchy, this 7-planet hierarchy, the 4th planet down, the 4th planet up, we have the planet Venus, the mother goddess, ruling the entire circle. Venus rules Taurus on the left, the sign on the ascendant, and Libra on the right. Then below that, we start to get into a major transition. Mercury rules Gemini on the left and Virgo on the right. But Mercury also rules division, the ideology of division, the concept of division. So what we have then is below that, we have the moon on the left ruling Cancer and the sun on the right ruling Leo. Now, this is the source, and we'll get into this in future discussions more completely, but this is the root of gender and gender roles. The moon, ruling Cancer, is the feminine. She's the mother goddess. She is the first woman. She'd be Eve or Astarte or any number of other feminine goddesses that, especially as they relate to human connection. First woman, first man, even Adam. On the right is the sun. The sun rules Leo, but the sun is also the epitome of the sun god, whereas like Eve or Astarte is the moon goddess. And these are the first twins. Not just Gemini, but these are the first twins, the actual brother-sister combination that we have within creation. And this sits within the larger, what might be considered the womb-like or the vulva of the circle. we have this axis is phallic, while the circle is womb-like and vulvic. Okay, so what happens then within this template, this highly sexual template, within which masculine and feminine are balanced across the board, in the circle there are six masculine signs and six feminine signs. They alternate around the circle, holding hands. As the source of, say, what we might consider like the ancient circle dances of, say, Wiccan ancestry. But when we have this, let's now, is that the, how the universe is created with this, is that mother and father dimensions, love and wisdom, universal mind and the divine heart, decide that they're going to have a child. They're going to create a physical universe within their immensity. So they pick out a small place within themselves for a physical universe. And what they, and when they choose this, it's chosen with this template. This is how it's going to be happening. It's going to be a Taurus rising zodiac with a planetary central vertical axis. Or axis mundi. So let's say they send down this immense, vibrant, divine beam of light that contains both masculine and feminine qualities in it, and they get to the edge of this new physical matrix, this new physical creation that is outlined in this zodiacal manner. This outline would then might be considered the garden wall of the Garden of Eden. Within is going to be this Garden of Eden. It's going to have masculine and feminine energies, sexual energies, loving energies, creative energies. So the light comes down to this part and it's split. The father light continues down through this central axis, through this potential creative matrix. The mother light beam is mirrored off again, perhaps by a in both, we're talking in flat two-dimensional imagery here because that's the easiest way to describe this stuff, and I'm not sure how it might manifest in three-dimensional reality. But in any way, in any manner, event, the mother beam is mirrored off, and I would say she's mirrored off in both directions around the circle. Okay, there's 12 parts of her. So at each, through each of the signs, through each of the houses that she goes through, that this light comes around, because initially it stays on the outside, 1/12 of the mother beam is mirrored off into the center of this matrix. And it's mirrored through the prism of an astrological energy energy template, Aries, Taurus, Sagittarius, Virgo, etc. And as it does so, it's spread out and it is actually enlivened for physical creation through the qualities of those signs. So the mother beam hits Aquarius and Capricorn, and 1/12 of the beam comes through each of those windows. They're animating windows, and that's why they have animal signs for them. It's not that they're animals; they're animating principles. They're life-giving principles, and so this goes on all the way around the circle. And at the bottom, the last 2/12, one on each side, they come, they meet together, and then they go up through the signs, or the house. Yeah, they go up through the signs of Cancer and Leo. One of them enlivens the feminine aspect. The other, although it's the mother light beam, enlivens a more masculine aspect. The masculine comes out of the feminine. The mother gives birth to the male child. So that in this sense, the importance of the feminine cannot be underestimated. Okay, now, the father beam comes straight down through that top center, in, through the midheaven, between Capricorn and Aquarius. It hits Saturn. It hits Jupiter. It hits Mars and Venus and Mercury. And then off to each side, Cancer, the Moon, and the Sun. Now, at each of these signs, or each of these planets, 1/7 of it is mirrored out or in some way similar to, you know, the animating windows. These are the animating planets or the gods. 1/7 of the Father beam is taken then and swirled around and shot out into this matrix, mixing with the incoming feminine energies. And it does so on each one of these levels until it gets down to the bottom. And then the Father energy enlivens the Moon, giving the Moon light, but at the same time also creating a sexual balance between masculine and feminine. It hits the Leo Sun, enlivening the masculine and mixing with the feminine aspect of Leo, the deep undercurrent, although Leo is a masculine sign and Cancer is a feminine sign. Subtle sexual interaction, complex balance going on here. Okay, and they're shooting energies back out. So you have this complex life supporting and producing and creating moray pattern far beyond anything that holographic technology can even begin to mirror today. And it's out there. This is the potential of everything that we have in front of us. So there's a third beam required. And that third beam comes from Sun, Moon, Cancer, Leo. It is the first woman and the first man. It's the archetype of the first woman and first man, who each and every one of us are aspects of. So in our own individual consciousness, we shoot this energy back up and out these different sections, and that brings up the universe around us. Now, at this level, first woman and first man have given rise to men and women, women and men. Okay, the sexual nature of gender interaction is a way of unifying these energies in a creative and powerful way. Each of us, we have our own awareness. We feel from our hearts, and we think from our minds, and we see the universe around us in a certain way. Now, at the bottom, Leo and Cancer, Sun and Moon, we project from that level very purely. We even project from the third level of Mercury at our belly center, just below our navel. And or is it just above the navel, right there around the navel? I forget. So anyway, we project very easily a universe filled with Leo aggression and Cancer survival. And we have around us the Mercury mind, which has all sorts of ways of looking at this stuff, ideologies, competing ideologies quite often. My God is better than your God, all of that other stuff. And this is the universe we live in, because this is where we project from. The heart, when we're able to learn to project from the heart, a new beam of light will go out into that matrix, and a new, much larger aspect of reality will just pop up out of that moray pattern. And it will then be, it's like, what it said is that when we project from the heart, the universe that we will inherit, that's coming for us, that we are actually in the process of manifesting, will be a universe of prosperity, happiness, the fulfillment of desires, and all of that stuff that we might consider to be like spiritually magical. Merlin, the wizard, the great goddesses and priestesses and their ability to just to create what they want around them. That's what we're dealing with right now. And this then gets back to, this starts to get into that area of gender roles. So in this universe, meditation and other factors are designed for us to polish the dirt off of these higher chakras. These chakras are the same as the planetary projector centers. Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Venus, they project out into this universe. And they remain hidden until the third beam of light can go through these same projectors out into the universe and enliven whichever level they're energetically designed to align with. We are the third beam. Our prejudices, our fears, our hatreds, our judgments, they all cloud and muddy up the higher the lenses of the higher projector centers. So very little gets out that way, and probably nothing at all. So we stayed mired in our hell, which is one way of saying it. It's the violence that comes up because of fear, lack of connection with the heart, and the competing energies of aggression, outward aggression, and rulership, and inward, pulling inward, nurturing, boundary setting, survival, and defense. Those two are natural opposites. So in many ways, especially in the universe we have around us now, especially with masculine dominance and patriarchal dominance around the world, we have created for ourselves a universe based upon these types of energies. And the universe has given it to us. This is what you want. This is what you can have. Now, as we do our meditation, as we work on ourselves, and as we work on our relationships, masculine to feminine, and we start to clean up, especially the higher, we don't need to go to the throat chakra or higher. Let's just get to the heart chakra right now, because that's what all the great teachers are talking about. Learning to love. Learning to get slapped down and then loving. Turn the other cheek. Somebody who steals your coat, give them also your cloak. That kind of stuff. It's not out of a sense of weakness. It's seen as weakness from a Leo Cancer polar duality. But it's a sense of strength. It's the weapon that we use to say, like, I don't want that anymore. I don't care if I die in this lifetime. The next time I come back, I want to emerge into a higher reality. Now, what's going to happen here is that those of us who choose this path have a lot of work to do. Those of us who like our dominance, who like our aggression, who like our suffering, they will get to continue to live out many, many more lifetimes in that level, because this is all energetic. Again, it's an illusion. It's a very solid and real illusion, but it's not reality itself. So we get to choose our reality. So right now we're in a period of time where time is in the Gemini phase. If you listen to an earlier interview, in the Gemini phase of the Pisces era of the age of Pisces, Gemini rules division. Pisces rules dreams and dream time. We are in a time where our dreams are being divided, and this is what is meant by a division of, you know, separate timelines. What's actually happening is we are getting to choose different dreams that we want to live in. And one of these timelines is for the dream of the heart and everything else that's really beautiful and amazing about that other stuff. So we do our meditations. We forgive constantly. We understand. And we love everywhere we can. Practice it. And we work with each other in terms of our relationships. And this actually includes gay relationships as well, which is, I don't have the time now, but we'll talk about that later, because we're dealing with archetypal energies and not physical body expressions. Okay? So we're kind of running down a little bit now. 5 more minutes. And so what I want to talk about in the future then as we get into this, and you can start to think about this now, all of our feminine gender roles arise out of the qualities of the moon and Cancer. All of our masculine gender roles come from the sun and Leo. And although they appear opposite and there's different qualities, we need to understand that this is where our gender roles come from. Now, in culture as we know it today, there has been a very large degree or an ability to color these roles in ways that are masculine-centric or feminine-centric. These become the stereotypes that overlay our gender roles and obfuscate them, what they are. As one example, yeah, the feminine rules motherhood and the house and home. But the feminine also rules the community, all the way up to the national level. The feminine rules governing, not leadership, but governing. And there's a difference. We'll get into that. But the masculine overlay, the masculine stereotype has pushed women back into the house and home and made of that house and home a prison to keep her bound up in. And the masculine is spread out into areas that it does not belong in. Okay, as we come up next time, and we'll start to talk more and more about this other stuff and what we can do about it and how it affects our lives. And how it actually starts to affect our understanding of religion and spirituality. Religion and spirituality are two entirely different things. And while spirituality maintains itself through 12 different areas of expression, religion might be on the verge of dying out right now because we're at the end of the age of Pisces, which is big religion, large bureaucratic institutions, dogmatic doctrines and things like that that are supposed to help us counter the confusing and illusory effects of the Pisces energy. We're getting out of that, and it's time for something totally new. And what that new is going to be can be mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. And breaking, exactly. So this is kind of where we're going to be going in the future, and gender roles is going to be a central part of this. Because when we look at this, the process of creation is continued through the relationship, not through the individual, especially from this astrological template that we're looking at here. I mean, the individual can do you can do it as an individual because every individual has both masculine and feminine hormones, a masculine and feminine side, etc. But the primary thrust of this next age is going to be through relationships and very possibly the new idea of the soulmate, and even beyond that, the twin flame. These are things that are relatively new, and that's what the thrust of creation and creative abilities is going to be for, especially getting up to a heart level understanding of the universe. So.
Okay, so that was a lot to digest, Robert, but I think it was really great. You know, kind of one of the questions kind of came up to me, or what that kind of is flashing in my mind, and maybe you give me an idea and I run, right?
We should all do that.
Well, it's sort of like he was talking about Cancer and Leo as the basis, and maybe I'll leave this on this note. But, you know, as a country, the United States has Cancer as its sun.
It does.
And so that is making me think about things in what has happened to our country. How has that maybe it's become about survival instead of this
nurturing.
And I also know that our country also has Mars in Gemini, which is, from what I've read, has led to some of our aggression in the world. I don't know. Those are gender roles that maybe at some point we can get into, Robert.
Gender archetypes. How we look to realign our relationships and our families.
Right. And so I think we all have that. We can all shift from survival to nurturing. We can all shift from aggression to leadership, because I think on some level that Leo... Yeah, I'm all excited. Here I am, jumping three steps ahead. Okay, so this is it for The World According to Velvet and our continuing interview with Robert Fitzgerald. Next time, we're going to go more deeply into the astrological...
Basis of religion and how that affects and the importance of gender roles to that.
Okay, perfect. Robert, thank you for your time, and all you out there in radio world, have a lovely day and enjoy this spring weather. Ta-ta.